And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right. You know, every once in a while, I'm going through this. And it's at least once a week. I mean, I could do more because there's a whole lot of wokeness out there. But every once in a while, I'm getting ready for the show in the morning, and we call it resourcing the show, and I'm sending the links over to Boomers Week and print them out so I can do highlighter and notes on them and get all this stuff ready. And I find myself going through going, ah, it's the wokest thing I've ever. Oh, my gosh, the level of wokeness. How much woke can there be? And I find myself suddenly in that moment when I know that I have a vast cornucopia, a plethora, a veritable buffet, if you will, an extreme extravaganza, a parade of wokeness. And now we have to do Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
Yeah, so right out the gate, I got to say, this one is as odd, not like any of them are not odd, but so the first story I got, this one came off of Fox. A Vermont school district has removed the words male and female from reproductive system lessons. I don't know how you do that. So I ain't no rocket surgeon. I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express. But I do believe that somewhere along the line, I understand if you're going to talk about reproductive systems, there's going to be male and female reproductive systems involved. That's just how this works. So a Vermont elementary school is reportedly removing the words male and female language from its fifth grade science lessons covering the human body, puberty, and reproduction. In a letter sent home to parents at the Founders Memorial School on April 20th, the principal announced that gender-inclusive language would now be used in the science and health unit. Well, apparently it's not science, and I would suggest their health is not that good. Teachers would now only use gender-inclusive language in these lessons in order to align our curriculum with our equity policies. Well, see, when you're teaching science, that means you shouldn't care rat squat for somebody's equity policies. There are going to be times when your notion of equity is not going to be upheld by the fact-driven aspects of science. All right, so terms like male and boy would be replaced with person who produces sperm. I kid you not. Likewise, female and girl would be replaced with a person who produces eggs. A person. Boomers give me the look like, don't attack the messenger, man. The look you're giving me right now. The organization called Parents Defending Education blasted the changes in a statement to Fox, saying, speaking about anyone in this way is dehumanizing in any context, but these new language rules specifically apply to a health unit for fifth graders about puberty and reproduction. It's clear that the school has decided to be derelict in their duty to educate students in the name of equity. And I totally agree. This is the madness that is consuming. And by the way, who is it they're trying to protect? What you got? You
guys, I was going to say, where are the parents?
Well, the parents are apparently ticked.
Okay, good. So the parents are ticked. Good.
I'm going to bet you there's like three or four parents in the whole school that are like, this is good. We should do this.
If that.
Because little Johnny is 5 years old and he's known he's a girl ever since. But I'm just telling you, by the way, don't ever refer to me as the person who produces sperm. Just saying.
Don't ever.
If you text that in, I'm going to delete it. I may take you out of the texting system. God, I don't know, man. But it's just this madness. I mean, it's an adventure, but sometimes it's, you know, so I always say adventures in woke world, there's going to be stories that make you laugh, stories that make you roll your eyes, stories that then will try to also make you want to throw something at the radio or throw the radio itself. I got a stack of these, and I'm going to wait till we get back from the break to dive into the next one. Like, you know, here's the interesting thing that I think is needs to be talked about. I've got another story about the person who was hiding Bibles, like hiding them, keeping them away from people in the Arizona State House. And they're trying to figure out what's going on, so they planted a hidden camera. You will never believe who they found was hiding Bibles so that no one could see them. Like, putting them in the refrigerator and underneath the couch cushions. Kid you not, Adventures in Woke World Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Man, the text lines have blown up. I will go through those in a moment, so y'all bear with me on that. Just keep on texting in. I think there's some good texts in here. I'll be honest with you. Wow. Okay. Arizona state lawmaker. So an Arizona state lawmaker who also is listed on her bio as being an ordained Presbyterian minister was recently caught on security cameras hiding Bibles. Like, so there's apparently... Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. Story on Fox News, dated yesterday. So here's the deal. There's right off the floor of the Arizona State House, there's a members lounge where you can go and take a break. You can, you know, take a phone call, whatever you got to do. You step off the House floor, you know, conduct some business. And in that room, there are couches and chairs, and there's a refrigerator, and there's some, you know, in a sink area, all that kind of stuff. And so apparently... There are two Bibles which are laid out and they are constantly on display. Like one's on a coffee table, I believe, and they've been there for years. And I think they're actually protected. I'm trying to find the place in the article that talked about why they are there. Anyway, the bottom line is this. They're considered property of the lounge area, and they're on permanent display. And yet one day somebody noticed they were gone. And then they found them under a couch cushion. And then another time they came back and they were gone again. And they found one of them in the refrigerator behind some stuff. Like, what? And so the State House security decided to do something about it. And they placed a temporary camera, unbeknownst to the members, in the lounge area to see what was up. And on April 10th, when the House members were in session, a third incident occurred, this time with a pair of Bibles in the lounge, once again going missing, and the security cameras showed it was... State Representative Stephanie Stahl Hamilton, that's a hyphenated name, Stahl Hamilton, a Democrat, an ordained Presbyterian minister, who was removing the books and hiding them under the sofas. She has not responded for comment.
Well, yeah, she's not going to respond.
Yeah.
What's she going to say? I would like to know what she's going
to
say.
I'd like to know what her church is going to say.
Yeah.
Is she actually a minister? And they're going to say... before you preach on Sunday, can you tell us why you're hiding Bibles?
Excuse me.
Is this a fetish? What do you have? What's going on? Anyway, so we're in Adventures in Woke World right now. You'll be proud to know that once again, dudes who think they're chicks are beating chicks, real chicks, in sports. So... this might also qualify for jackassery.
Oh,
so
it definitely does.
Go ahead and hit it when you're ready. Yeah. You have too much fun with all those buttons over there. So, story on Daily Caller. Trans woman who ran the New York City Marathon as a man decided he's a chick and ran past 14,000 women in the London Marathon most recently when competing in the female category. So a biological male identifying as a transgender woman topped out nearly 14,000 women in the London Marathon after competing in the New York Marathon against men. Glenique Frank, who was born Glenn Frank, but now it's Glenique Frank, finished in 6,160th place. But when you consider that was against 20,123 women, it means he's in the upper percentiles. He beat out 14,000 women, thereabouts, in the London Marathon this past weekend. Frank spoke to a BBC reporter saying things like, "London's the best, girl power." He says girl power.
He said girl power?
Yeah, he said girl power. He said girl power. Anyway, the runner was draped in a transgender flag and wore rainbow armbands in the pattern of the LGBT flag. And the London race is the runner's 17th marathon and one of six majors that Frank is competing in. Frank being the last name. Frank ran as a man in the New York City Marathon just last November, finishing in 14,000th place out of 26,539 men. Social media shows photos of Frank running marathons as a balding man. And now, he's running as a chick. Two-time British Olympian Mara Yamauchi criticized him on social media, basically pointing out, this man ran in yesterday's London Marathon as a female and beat 14,000 women. And says that this shouldn't be allowed. And UK athletics actually excludes biological males from elite female competition. But Frank was somehow able to get his name in the women's list and ran the race as a woman. Whoop, whoop.
Way to go, dude.
Yeah, I know. Aren't you so proud? You're one of the best women out there in the race. Speaking of which, apparently, if you've been the victim of torture or gender-based violence, or you're pregnant, those things right there qualify you, if a certain bill passes, would qualify you for expedited entry into the United States as an illegal. But let's don't stop there, because on par with all that, on par with the victims of torture are LGBTQ.
I saw this article and I was like, all they have to do is say, I'm gay.
That's exactly right.
And then they're, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you can come on in.
This is a real bill. This is a bill in the U.S. House right now, sponsored by Democrat Rep. Pramila Jayapal, known liberal, Democrat Senator Cory Booker, Spartacus, that's who's Spartacus, Cory Booker, and Democrat Rep. Adam Smith of Washington. And it would literally force federal officials to not detain what they call vulnerable migrants. One of the categories is LGBTQ.
But why?
I guess the Human Rights Campaign is funding the re-election campaign for Cory Booker.
Wow.
Story on Daily Caller. Go check it out. It came out yesterday. It says the bill would create what's called a presumption of release and impose a higher burden of proof to detain primary caregivers in vulnerable populations, including LGBTQ survivors of torture and gender-based violence. And this is definitely an example of jackassery. Cory Booker. Dude, that dude is such a flamer. I mean, he is something else. But yeah, Cory Booker. Spartacus, it's just hard, man. I look at this and think, so what they're really saying is, in fact, this article actually points out there were four members of the Border Patrol who were testifying before Congress that this bill, if it passes, they say they rarely see anyone coming across the border claiming to be LGBTQ, and they know for a fact if this bill passes, there'll be tons of them. All you got to say is, yeah, today I'm gay. Okay, please enter in. At your leisure, you may find all the resources of our nation at your disposal. No passport? No. Swambuck River? Yes. Just cross the gate without ID? It's okay. Come on in, because you're gay, and that's all that matters. Okay, I think I almost want to throw the radio at that one. But that would be the whole studio. So
right, don't do that. But, I mean, absolutely, it's completely absurd that they would even consider doing that. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. Oh, I'm gay today.
It's predictable.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you can see the outcome ahead, and you know how bad it's going to be, but you still go forward anyway, you're in jackassery at that point.
Oh, yes.
All right, just so you know, Mother's Day is now controversial.
Of course.
I love my mother. You love your mother. We celebrate Mother's Day. Yes. Charlene's a great mom. Courtney's a great mom. Anyway. Story on hotair.com.
Moms.
Mom's Day should not be controversial.
Should not be.
What should be controversial is forgetting Mom's Day. Just don't do it.
Don't do that.
Did you know that Mother's Day is controversial? Hotair.com. Story dated 2 days ago. Corporate America has, for some reason, decided that Mother's Day is a sensitive time, a challenging time, a difficult time. So they're inviting customers to opt out of emails for that triggering of all days. And the article says, no, we're not kidding. It's ironic, it says, in many ways, not the least of which is that a lot of us, you know, find going to our email boxes that we have, you know, 20,000 unread emails and they wind up as junk. But then you get one that gets through and it talks about all the things you can buy from Mother. But if it's challenging for you or too sensitive, you're welcome to opt out of this email. How about just telling us what's 40% off is all we want to know. So, but yeah, that's Mother's Day is apparently an oppressive thing. In fact, this one woman says she actually got an email from a company called, which one was it? Passion Planner, where you can order like journals and planning, you know, planners. I guess being a passion planner, what are you scheduling with that? But anyway, nonetheless, it said, we recognize that Mother's Day can be a very difficult time for some of our PashFam family. And if you'd rather not receive emails from us, feel free to opt out. One example. But yeah, what we're looking at here is that basically the left has designed an opportunity now to once again attack the family. I'm just saying, once again, they're trying to find a way to go ahead and just, you know, it's probably some alphabet person movement that's out there trying to do away with Mother's Days, because what we should have, you know, now that I think about it, Boomer, the reality is if they're going to do this right, it needs to be Birthing Parent Day.
Birthing Parent Day.
Birthing Parent Day. If you've never if you've never thought of that, if we coined it first, I want credit.
Birthing Parent Day.
We need a new sound effect for that one. Let's just stick with Jackassery. Go yes. for it. Hit yes. it right now. That's just, oh my gosh. All right. Listen, we're gonna go to a break right now, and I will come right back and just regale you with things like, oh, I don't know, what's Pete Buttigieg up to right now? Well, he's saving the world from gender inequity with crash test dummies. I kid you not. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, listen, we got top of the hour. You're going to want to stay tuned, because when we come back for the 4 o'clock break, we'll have the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson phoning in. I think we need to jump over to the text lines, man. So the text lines have exploded. Boom. Do we have a boom sound? Text lines. Boomer's got so many buttons. He's got a phone call going. All right, I'll go without the boom. So Sam from Priceville, this, I don't know what you said to me, Sam, so I'm not sure I should repeat that. but anyway, Sam from Priceville, glad you're texting in. Kenneth from Hartzell just flat out says nope, and I'm pretty sure he's talking about some of the wokeness I just quoted. Colin from Decatur just texted in and says, I cannot imagine how ridiculous it would be if that bill actually passes. Yeah. Said, I'm getting real tired of actual U.S. citizens getting treated like second class by our government. I mean, how much better off will we be if those resources were spent on actual citizens? Totally, totally agree. Scott from Decatur is picking up our reception over yonder in the Shoals of Florence area, 92.5 FM, 770 AM. Glad you're on it, Scott. Alan from Madison says, he says dumbassery are ruffian vocabulary, and we got to put a glossary together of all of our terms. Allie from Athens says, true story. When I was in high school, someone came and preached at our church, and they preached out of Mao's Little Red Book. No joke. Wow. No kidding. I'd like to know whether they were invited back. That's the kicker. G.I. Joe from Birmingham says, so you're an XY person. I don't know why. Why would he say that to me? Okay. Anita from South Huntsville. I thought biology class was the only place where you could define a woman or a female. Well, apparently you can define it in the Congress, too, because you can pass bills that allow things to happen that shouldn't happen. Amanda from Decatur. Boomer laughing, try not to laugh so loud, it's so hilarious. He's cracking up, she says. It's true. It's true. There have been a few today.
I sit over here and I'm like, oh man, I can't laugh.
We got a caller on the line?
Yes, sir.
I'll jump on it. Colin from Decatur. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Bill. It's the first time I've heard about that bill you just mentioned, and I was so mad that I had to text in and actually call and say something. It's ridiculous if that passes.
Yeah, are you talking about the
gay,
one about
so I get
the
a free pass?
You talking about the one the LGBTQ stuff on the border?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like the fact that they can compare that to torture. I mean, I used to be a government contractor. I've seen people that have actually been tortured.
Yeah,
that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And then those resources could be spent, one, handling our actual ridiculous non-existent southern border, or I don't know, overhaul the VA and make it work, or take care of our own homeless. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's absolutely maddening, man. I mean, that's why it qualifies for our jackassery catalog. But you are absolutely right, dude. And it's and by the way, thank you for your service. But it's unbelievable what people like Cory Booker will try and do. Well, to be loose. All right, hey Colin, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it very much. Absolutely. Have a great day. So, I mean, I didn't even get to all the texts because I'm going to tell you right now, Woke World has woke some people up. But next story I've got for you, you'll be excited to know that Pete Buttigieg is still on the job. Story from the Political Insider dated 2 days ago. See, this is a lot of fresh stuff here, man. We're rolling out only the freshest woke. I mean, when you come in and check our woke, it's fresh. All right, so Pete Buttigieg is praised for fighting gender inequity by investing in female crash test dummies. This is important. So crash test dummies, those are important. I get it. We use them to check and make sure that vehicles actually going to... But you got to have one. But then here's my question. How do you define female crash test dummy?
Ooh. Yes, how do you?
Pray tell.
Ooh.
What if you're just a birthing person crash test dummy?
I mean, what does the dummy have to do? Identify as the female?
I suppose.
They're going to write female.
And just in with Maybelline lipstick.
Oh.
See how I did that? Yeah, so Representative Rosa DeLauro, by the way, she's a hoot. If you ever seen Rosa DeLauro, she's the congresswoman who looks like she's about 70. She has blue hair. Representative Rosa DeLauro praised Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg for his plan to invest in female crash dummies, something she claims is an important step to fight gender inequity. She is referring to Buttigieg's current request before Congress for $20 million for the DOT to develop the dummies. So
they're going to spend $20 million to develop the female dummies.
They have spent all this time trying to convince us that male and female are interchangeable. And now they need a separate crash test dummy, though, for $20 million.
What's going through their heads when they're going through all this stuff?
Can I get me a jackassery?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Our pastor would say, can I get a good amen? I'm going to say, can I get a good jackassery? There you go. It says, while many people would roll their eyes at yet another virtue-signaling attempt at wokeism from the Biden administration, DeLauro finds the push for gender-specific crash dummies to be a watershed moment in the fight for equality. It says, you also plan to make important investments to address the roadway safety crises, including the critical funding that would accelerate development. This is an area I've written to you about, the use of female dummies in crash testing. By the way, I saw the video of this. And he just sat there nodding his head affirmative like he was so glad she was bringing this point up. Well, I didn't even get to all the stories. We're going to go take the break here momentarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I could tell you about the fired Big Lots manager who lost her job because she went outside and stopped the person from stealing stuff and got the cart back that they were trying to take with them. Yeah, lost her job. Or the fact that the Christian University has now blocked a survivor of the Maoist China who's giving speeches, or the Portland police, who were decrying the fact that they had to sit through woke LGBTQ training to teach them how to be sensitive to the LGBTQ2IA plus queer policy introduction and training. Portland police. They're hemorrhaging people over there. All right, folks. Adventures in Woke World. Y'all stay tuned. Coming right back with the Grand Council. We'll be right back. Ruffians out there, you are